My name's Nick Barley and I'm director of the Edinburgh International Book Festival.
My name is Roland Gulliver and I'm the associate director of the Edinburgh International Book Festival.
One of the things that we really feel proud about with the book festival is the ability to put Scottish writing on the international stage. And that means that we create an international stage in Edinburgh every August. And that internationalism is a really fundamental part of what I think makes the book festival experience so exciting. So we just wanted to talk a bit about just how international this year's programme is.
Yes, I think authors from around 40 different countries and nations, and it's one of the exciting things of our job is that we get to discover, as we put the programme together, all these remarkable international voices, whether they're debut names or outstanding celebrated literary names from across the world. I think one of my favourite events in the programme will be Ron Rash and Manuel Rivas. Manuel Rivas is one of those authors I've been trying to get to come to the book festival for many years, and he just hasn't been able to come. He's based in Spain, but he's a Galician writer and writes in Galician and really champions the history and culture of that region. And his new book, All Is Silence, is a story capturing the past 50 years, telling the story of three boys growing up in the 60s who go their different ways through crime, but also through joining the police. And it's a story that is very moving and captures the atmosphere of that nation. And it goes very well with Ron Rash, who writes about the Appalachian region in America. He writes both short stories and novels, and he really captures both the time from, he writes stories from the Wars of Independence up to modern day, but really captures the time and the period and that place, which are stories that are very moving and very powerful, and very always kind of powerful by the how understated they are. And that, I think those two together will be a fascinating discussion.
Last year, we put on an extraordinary event, a series of events, which are around the Writers' Conference, the Edinburgh World Writers' Conference, which brought together writers from around the world to talk about the process of writing. And part of that project enabled the Writers' Conference to travel around the world. And we've been listening to authors from all over the world talking about why they write and why novels matter. And I've been very fortunate to travel to witness some of those events. And last year, I managed to go to Cape Town to hear Writers' Conference events there. And in the process of being in Cape Town, I met a number of South African writers. And so we're fortunate that we've been able to invite some of those people to Edinburgh this year. They include some really astonishing debut or emerging writers. There's an event with a woman called Henrietta Rose Innes, who was a winner of the Kane Prize a couple of years ago. And she's living in Cape Town and describes the kind of post-apartheid condition in Cape Town with kind of fables which look at animals living in the city and the way in which animals sort of represent humans. And then alongside her will be a man called Sifiso Mzobe, whose debut novel Young Blood has won every day it wins a new literary award. It's just been absolutely taken South Africa by storm these last 6 months. Young Blood is about the experience of young men carjacking in the townships. And what's really shocking about it, I suppose, is that these young men are not stereotypically poor and uneducated, but they are sort of emerging South African middle-class kids who steal posh BMWs for kicks, not because they're starving. And so it's a very, very bleak and very scathing assessment of the post-apartheid South Africa. There are two major voices from South African writing, Sindiwe Magona and Ahmad Dangor. Ahmad was shortlisted for the Booker Prize a number of years ago, and they've both written in different ways about the experience of moving from apartheid to what has followed it. And it's not exactly over apartheid. It's still a very segregated society. But then alongside them, there are writers who don't really look at apartheid at all. There's Lauren Bucus, who's an extraordinary emerging voice from South African fiction, who's written a sort of time travel thriller. And then there's the leading South African crime writer, Dion Meyer, who's a sort of lion of white South African literature.
Yeah, and also there's Marley Rood, who is, she's based in London, but she's also a South African writer, and her debut novel is coming out. And that's about a young woman who goes back to see her father, and he and uncovers the truth about a murder in apartheid times. And it's about that relationship between the generations, between children and their parents, and the divide that the apartheid era has had upon those generations. One of the nice things about exploring who we put together in the program is you discover these little mini connections and little mini themes. And one of those is road trips, because in Molly Rood's book, the girl goes on a road trip with her father, and one or two other books that involve road trips with fathers, including Amity Gage, who's an American author. Although this is her third book, it's actually the first time she's been published in the UK, and she's doing the event with Meg Rossoff, and it's looking at that, you know, road trips between children and their fathers, and they're kind of uncovering their stories and their relationships, which is always very fascinating.
Another facet of Africa is the events which have been going on in the northern part of Africa. And a couple of years ago, we managed to capture some of the sense of the Arab Spring events as it happened. You know, the Arab Spring was unfolding as Hisham Mattar was coming to talk about the fact that his father had disappeared and the Gaddafi government was falling. We've followed on from that, and again it's been through Writers Conference connections that we've made contact with an extraordinary group of Egyptian poets and musicians who will be joining us for a very rare appearance in Europe to present some of the songs and poems that they played in Tahrir Square during the course of the uprising. And what we've learnt in the conversations with them is that these songs and poems were very much what the protesters were listening to and singing to themselves as a means of kind of understanding what they were going through. So these are about songs of liberation, which they sang, and there's footage, extraordinary footage of Amin Haddad and Eskender Ella singing and recounting their poems while bullets are being fired and while rocks are being thrown from the tops of buildings at protesters, and what you see people ducking as these poems are being played. And so the fact that poetry absolutely hooked into this kind of urgent, well, I suppose, you know, this revolutionary moment, I think is something, and perhaps one doesn't think of poetry as being something quite as urgent as that.
That reflects on the fact that writing has a really important role to play in politics and society and across the world. You know, there's people like Shani Bouhanjiou, who's a young Israeli writer, her debut novel, although it's a work of fiction, it reflects her life, where she grew up as a teenager, like any teenager grows up across the world, but then had to do her national service within the Israeli army. And this novel kind of reflects what that's like as a young woman being thrown into this situation and kind of how you survive, how that changes your interpretation of the world. Someone else that also looks at the changing times is Patricio Pron, who's an Argentinian writer, and his story looks back over his family's generations and looks at how the disappeared people in Argentina and traces the story of one that a murder in a town, which then goes and discovers a story of this woman who disappeared as a journalist in the 70s. So it's really that the power that poetry and fiction writing has of kind of uncovering these stories and capturing these stories of politics and history.
Yeah, so that's just a tiny sprinkling of the extraordinary array of international ideas that we have in the programme. We could talk all day about these kinds of ideas. And if you flick through the programme, many of these events, I suppose because they're not necessarily household names, still have tickets available. And so we're really, really keen that people just try out somebody who perhaps they're not familiar with their name, but we pretty much guarantee that the stories they have to tell will be worth coming along to spend an hour with them.